This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Brownie and Chindi Chikwa. We got a great one for you today. This is summer. Well, it's still spring, but it's close to summer. It's getting hot.
It's so
we got some different things. We got some stuff to talk about. We got calendar schedules coming out, man. Some exciting things. If you love Buckeye football, this is where you need to be.
Yep. And let's get started by giving a shout out to our sponsors, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your championship finals, info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines and the latest matchup reports for this year's NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. The Nuggets and the Heat, right? I stopped watching after the Lakers lost.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Bet Online is your sports intel headquarters this season as we have you covered for all your insider sports wagering needs, from basketball and hockey to MLB, UFC, and boxing. The fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including the live betting options and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your home. So get into the action today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to join, and be sure to use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Yeah, man, if you got any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're always there 24/7 to help you out. Gambling's it's a thing, right? So be responsible. Take care of things that, you know, are important. And, you know, when you have some fun, right? So, yeah, so let's jump into it, man. The Ohio State 2023 schedule has been released. We wanted to kind of dive into that because to me, it's a pretty, it's kind of a tricky schedule there. First off, I'm gonna call off the games.
Okay.
Just so we're on the same page with things. Start off the season with Indiana, at Indiana. Home games against Youngstown State. Home game against Western Kentucky. Then we at Notre Dame for a night game. Maryland's at home this year. At Purdue. Penn State's at home. At Wisconsin. At Rutgers. Then we have Michigan State at home, Minnesota at home, and then we end with the finale, the game up north, the granddaddy. Well, not the granddaddy, you know. The game.
Right.
At Michigan to close out the season. So, yeah. So, yeah, how you feeling about that? What's your thoughts?
I don't think it's a very heavy schedule. There's not a lot of big players, big matchups, but there is a decent amount. You start off with a Big Ten matchup, which, you know, I would prefer flipping that Youngstown to Indiana game, Youngstown State and Western Kentucky first, and then going into your ones that are a little bit more tougher. Then you get a couple good games at home: Penn State, Michigan State, and then obviously you got the big one on the road, the game at the end. But the one I really got my eye on, I got two, but one of the big ones is at Wisconsin. Part of that is we lost one game our senior year.
If we
didn't lose that game, we would have went to the national championship against Cam Newton's Auburn Tigers.
No, man, we would have played Oregon, man. I was just talking to one of our – man, we would have played Oregon. If Oregon was the number one team.
Dang.
There was number one team. There was the high power Oregon offense, the number one team.
Nobody would have wanted Auburn to be left out of that national championship the way Cam Newton was playing.
But you remember,
they would have done some tricky stuff.
Man, I don't know, man. I mean, obviously it didn't happen. We lost the game, so it was easy from there.
Right.
But I feel if we won that game, we was the number one team in the country. So maybe we stay there, maybe we not. Maybe we get bumped by Oregon because, once again, they had like that high power offense at the time. And I feel like the preseason of the thing would have kind of took Auburn out of it. They kind of came out of nowhere. No one kind of had them in the preseason rankings. Obviously, Cam Newton came in, had a fantastic year. The year, right? And they beat all the teams. They beat Alabama. But if you recall back then, I mean, SEC was a big thing, but they didn't have – Alabama was just coming on. So it's like they wasn't that dominant figure it is. Now if it happened, undefeated SEC team and national championship. But I think back then they could have got left out. I don't know.
They would have put – because Auburn didn't lose. They didn't have a loss, did they?
No, they was undefeated. Yep.
So it would have been – and Oregon was undefeated, right? So we had just beat Oregon in the Rose Bowl the year before.
Right.
And they would have – I mean, it was just picking the teams, right? So if it would have came down to us three, they would have been like, we've seen Ohio State, Oregon last year. We've seen them last year, and they got in this SEC team, and they got this guy who we think is the best player in college football. They going to the national championship, and it's going to be Terrell Pryor versus Cam Newton. In the championship.
That would have been must-see TV. Remember, once again, dude, we talk about hypothetical. Hey, man, let's focus on 2023.
I am.
You're talking about the cat schedule. You're focused on the Wisconsin game, right? So, I'm biased. I'm an Ohio State fan. I always feel we got the best team. We got the best coaches. We got the best players. We got the best everything. So, right when I look at this calendar, I mean, the schedule, I'm like, yeah, we're going to win all our games. Like,
Come on,
a couple games might be closer in there, but we'll win them all.
Come on, man.
We all know that's not usually the case, right? That, you know, you're usually going to lose a game. That's just kind of how the nature of it is. You just don't know what's won. Hopefully, it's not against your rival. But, you know, you try to win them all, right? But, you know, talk about the Wisconsin game. Yeah. Obviously, that is one that's, if you're looking at, first off, where it falls on the schedule, talking about Wisconsin, who is coming in with a new coach, Coach Fickell, who coached us at Ohio State, is Ohio State Buckeye itself, Ohio State great, who just took the job at Wisconsin in his first year. You know the Ohio State skit game is like somewhere highlighted in their facility, and it's probably something that they're talking about on a regular basis. We're at Wisconsin. They had a kind of a down year last year, right? We're talking about them getting a new coach. Like, you usually don't get a new coach after a great year. So they had a bit of a down year last year, which was kind of unprecedented for them, but it happened, and now they got Coach Fickell. So kind of like a trap game. We played them right after Penn State. Obviously, Penn State, we know, as they've been for the last handful of years, we expect them to have another good team. So after a big game that we all know will be a big game, Penn State, we got to go to Wisconsin. And once again, that could be kind of considered more of a tricky one. At Wisconsin, like you said, we lost there our senior year. And if you recall, Trestle was getting us ready for that game since, like, the year before. Talking about going to Wisconsin, being real ready, getting there to beat Wisconsin. Because if we beat Wisconsin, we have a very good chance of being a national championship at Wisconsin. And we lose. So, like, it's a game you have to be ready for, right?
Yeah.
That
was a game I never even considered us losing. Honestly, my senior year, I got a little bit arrogant in that. I didn't think there was a team that could beat us at all.
No, we were pretty good.
I was like, there is no way they're going to beat us because our defense is stopping everything. And our offense could run the ball. And Terrell Pryor could ad-lib and do whatever. We can't lose. And we went to Wisconsin, and it was 21-3 to start the game. So, the key about that, though, I'm not just talking about some stuff in the past. Fickell was on that team. Fickell was our defensive coordinator on that team. Fickell was not a head coach at Wisconsin. He's going to have them ready to play. And it's coming after a big game at home against Penn State. So, I think there's, you know, you get over Penn State, you get that big game, you get that big win, then you got to go on the road and go face a Fickell-led Wisconsin team, man. I'm telling you, the defense is going to be ready to go.
They're
going to be ready to go. And he's going to understand what it takes to beat Ohio State.
In physical that game. That game is going to be physical. I mean, Wisconsin games are always physical. If you know anything about Wisconsin, they are huge on their trenches. They're huge on their offensive line play. They're usually known for just running the ball. With Fickell, we expected to be a little bit more spread, right? We probably kind of get a little bit more modern with that offense. But some of those guys are there, right? And when it comes to off the line play, it translates. Like, you know, if you're talking about some guys that could move some bodies, some guys that could stand up and be firm in the pass pro, it translates from offense to offense, and I'm pretty sure that they'll be focused and locked in, ready to go. But also looking at this calendar, this schedule here, we have the guys that's just known. If you're in the Big Ten, these guys are just known for ruining seasons. It's like they claim to fame. They'll play a bunch of guys. They'll play them mediocre. They may lose some games. They may win some games. But they're just known for this knocking off a big team, and that's Purdue. And we're on the road at Purdue this year. And we also could consider that like a high game that, once again, it's always tough to get up for Purdue because usually you look at their record and, like, you know, what's there. But this is what they do.
So not every team is playing for a national championship. Because not every team has the tools to get there, right? Mm-hmm. So what is Purdue playing for? To get as far as they can in the Big Ten. Win as many games as possible in the Big Ten. Get to a bowl game. You know, have a positive schedule. Win more games than you lose. Get to a bowl game. And then go beat one of these teams. They're going to look at their schedule. Well, we got, I don't know what their schedule is, but they're going to have a few big teams. They're going to have a Wisconsin. They have a that team up north, maybe Ohio State. They have Ohio State, maybe somebody else. They're looking at that. Let's get one or two of these. Mm-hmm. Let's get one or two of these. And then they're going to put on the old film 2021. They're going to put on the film from back in the day, back in, I think, 2008 when we played them at Purdue. Mm-hmm. And we end up losing. And we was ranked, I don't know, maybe one or two in the nation at that point. So. Yeah. And it's right before the big game at home against Penn State. So, I'm more confident about beating Penn State at home than I am about beating Purdue.
I mean, obviously, Purdue had last year they had a really good year, right? Their quarterback was really capable. I believe he went on to the NFL. I believe it was O'Donnell, maybe. But he won't was a really, really capable guy, right? And then, you know, he winged it around. So, I mean, obviously, we don't know what Purdue has, right? I mean, it's not like a team that you're tracking. You're not really keeping up with their news. You just kind of, when the season rolls in, you see who Purdue has out there and what they good at and what they're not good at, right? But once again, this is what Purdue does. They get a team that's kind of on the high road, take them a little bit lightly, and they go out there and they really punch you in your mouth. Usually, when you lose that Purdue game, it's not like, a trick, like they tricked you to death. Like, no, like they went out there and they lined up and they had a plan for you. They knew what your weaknesses were and they exploited them. And they kind of do it usually. And it's kind of quiet, right? Once again, it's not usually the biggest game. There's a ton of people are not watching. Some people might miss it. You just look up and the game is over and you have lost it. That's how Purdue rolls. So, tricky one, man. Also, we got to shout out Maryland here. So, if you recall, last year we beat Maryland, I believe, by a couple 13. Scores.
Yeah.
But that was a close game. It was a tough fall game. Led by a coach that formerly ran Alabama's offense. They have let's call him a super vet quarterback in Tua, who's been playing college football now since, I don't know, his brother was winning national championships at LSU. So, he's been in the college game for a while. He owns Maryland's record for a single season passing. He's a very capable guy. So when it comes to football, you know, if you have a quarterback, you usually could get in the game. And so right now, you're looking at, obviously, we're very confident in our quarterbacks that we have. But you talk about experience. You talk about guys with zero experience versus the guy that's been leading offenses now as a starter for three seasons and been playing college football since he was, I think he's 23, so he's been playing football for like his fifth or sixth year playing college football.
He probably has a PhD now. He's probably a TA. He's teaching classes at this point, teaching football at the school. So, yeah, that's always a veteran quarterback there. That's always something. The big games, I mean, Wisconsin's a big game.
Right.
But the big ones on the schedule, you got Notre Dame early in the first quarter. Quarter, night game at Notre Dame. What are you thinking about that game?
So it's going to be Notre Dame should. You would expect Notre Dame to have a plan, right? Last year they played us, and to be fair, they played us well. If I for a half there, second half, Ohio State really leaned on their, and it's surprising to me, they leaned on them running the ball. Ohio State ran the ball. Essentially, they ran 4-man offense for the whole second half. Just kind of took the ball away from Notre Dame. And just held it, running the ball, pounded it, and got up a few scores and was able to win that game. And at that time in the season, if you recall, Notre Dame was really bad on offense. They didn't have it figured out early in the season there, and it showed. They lost that game, and they come back and lose to Marshall. Just really not really there offensively. So this year is like kind of payback, right? Now, you know, you got the team that's coming to you. I had to look it up, but I mean, Ohio State in Notre Dame is literally a car drive away. It's got to be a 3 or 4 hour drive from each other. Like we're fairly close to each other, over in the state of Indiana, Notre Dame is. So, they would be ready, man. I mean, they're a proudful bunch. Obviously, they're led by Coach Freeman, another former Buckeye. If you're looking at the former Buckeyes on the on the roster here. I mean, it's a ton. Yeah. But if Coach Freeman is one of them, and obviously it'd be a great way for them to kind of put a stack closer in his career on who he's going to be as a head coach if he could kind of figure out a way to knock off Ohio State. Don't think it'd happen, but they'll be better than last year. I think it'll be a game that goes four quarters. Yeah. But we'll just have to see how it goes. But yeah. I mean, to me, it's a lot of good teams on the schedule.
It's some solid teams. To me, I look at style of playing matchups, and I think we always play well in this, the Ryan Day era. We play well against Penn State because I feel like we're similar in style of play. And I just think Ohio State's just got better players to do that same type of style, a little bit more of a finesse team overall. I think the matchups teams don't have to have the same level of talent, but, you know, like Michigan or Wisconsin or Notre Dame, I think their style of play is the style of play that you need to – that's the way you have to play to beat Ohio State in this Ryan Day era. And I don't think you have to match the talent level. You have to be close enough. Like, you have to be in the ballpark, which those teams are likely going to be. So those are the ones to me I think they play the most physical game, which I think is probably going to be the biggest challenge overall. And I just think that Purdue game is just I feel like Purdue looking at the schedule, like, ooh, they got Penn State next week too. Like, we can sneak up on them, you know?
Right. So, yeah, man, it's interesting, but yeah, like you say, it's just like you say, that style of play. So if you're not know what we're talking about, we're talking about a Coach Day offense that's, you know, essentially known for throwing the ball, kind of spreading you out and winging around. And even when they run the ball, it's usually for big games for a reason, because they call offensive run plays that leads to big games, if that make any sense. But if that means, I guess, let me try to explain that a little bit more. If you call a sweep, right, you try to get the running back on the outside edge running fast, you're looking at getting 8 to 10 yards because you just want to out-leverage everybody, then just kind of take it and go. Compared to an offense where you're running like a power, where you're just getting some double teams on the offensive line, moving some people, hitting some people, and then you're okay. You're fine with the 4 or 5 yard gain. Coach Day's offense usually like to spread teams out.
Yeah.
So much that the defense are just playing the pass, because that's typically what they do. And then they want to try to hit you with like inside zones where essentially they got enough people out the box that it works, you know? Yep. So guys are just kind of getting the hat on the hat, and with a fast running back, we kind of beat you to the point. And if we don't usually get that kind of stuff going on, they're playing the run, then we just abandon it. We like to try to wing it around. That's what historically we have seen out of Coach Day's offense. So when you start talking about teams like a Wisconsin who could kind of stand in there, it's like, okay, we got enough guys up front here to hang in. We could These guys could play the run, and we don't have to kind of sell this extra hat in the box for us to do so. These guys know how to gap protection, and they're able to make those plays. And then offensively, they know how to run the ball for 4 or 5 yards and be okay with that. Like, all right, we got 4 or 5, we get up and do it again. And then once Ohio State just get tired of us nicking them, they kind of dial the extra guy in, then we hit them over top for a big play. So, like styles matter. Styles matter. And that's who we see. We got Minnesota that's late on the on the schedule here. And they're another team that's coached by P.J. Fleck, who was actually a GA at Ohio State, our true freshman year at Ohio State. Really good coach who's been stringing together really good seasons for a Minnesota team. So that's a team, once again, that would be physical. They like to run the ball. But usually Minnesota, once again, we talk about the talent being at least comparable, their talent gap usually was going to kind of hold them back, where we could kind of take care of them, and it's not like a huge concern just do when it comes down to it. They usually just don't have enough guys to kind of stand up with it.
But in today's transfer portal era, we really don't know which one of these teams got somebody in, right? Yeah. And now we can look at the rankings and we can say, okay, you know, this team is ranked, this transfer portal ranking is 52, or this team's transfer portal ranking is 99. We don't know which one of those young guys that didn't play a lot is really a dog, right?
Yeah.
This guy was playing at some school And it ain't work out. He got in the doghouse. He did something crazy. The coach don't like him no more. And he's a dog. And he transfers, and that's what the missing piece. They needed a corner. They needed two corners. They got two in, right? They needed a D tackle, which was, you know, the guy to take on double teams that they didn't have, so guys was blowing them up all year. They got a couple guys in. And it changes, you know, what they can do. So we don't know which one of these teams got it. We could try to project, but it's hard to do. So you just never know. I think that November actually looks really solid in terms of competition, Michigan State, Minnesota, and then, you know, the big game, which and I'm confident about that one.
Yeah.
I'm confident about that
one. Yeah, it's no way we're losing three in a row. We could just leave it. We could say it, and we could just kind of, you know, leave it at that. But
be a lot of Buckeyes next on Suicide Watch.
that's for sure. But the next thing we want to kind of get into here is kind of looking out what also kind of dropped. This dropped today, actually. They started talking about the 2024 season,
yeah,
the 2025 seasons. We have, like, basically not everything set in stone, but it's kind of written down exactly who teams will be facing. So big news in the Big Ten, right? 2024, we have teams from California joining the Big Ten, which is crazy to say, but West Coast Big Ten, right? You got USC's joining the conference. You have UCLA joining the conference. Obviously, those two haven't really been running the Pac-10. But historically, you know, if you start looking at the historical nature of the Pac-10 in the West Coast, you know, those teams have a lot of history there, playing a lot of good football. And obviously, USC is back on the rise. Same thing with UCLA, with Coach Kelly being there. And the USC with the guy from Oklahoma. What's
Lincoln,
his name?
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley's there. Yeah. And all that they bring to the table. So, it'll be exciting stuff. So, and the huge thing, I guess one of the biggest things, though, that needs to be spoke about is that in 2024, there's no more divisions. So, right now, I don't know how they've been calling it, but whatever the two divisions is, whoever wins the division here plays the person who wins the division over here in the Big Ten Championship. And obviously, if you win a Big Ten Championship, pretty good chance you make the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So there's no more of that. They're kind of doing away with the divisions. And when it comes to a Big Ten Championship, that's the teams with the best records. How are they kind of figure out tie breaks? How are they going to do it? But the teams with the two best records will play each other in the Big Ten Championship to make the playoffs. So,
which I like. I like that, especially with the two other teams joining the conference. I like the fact that get rid of these East versus West. No more Purdue sneaking into this Big Ten. Y'all going to get in, y'all got to earn it. All right, well, if you're going to get in, you're going to have to play some offense. You're going to have to earn it. So.
Yeah, man. I mean, teams like that, I mean, that really hinders them, though. I mean, you're talking about, you know, it'll be fair in the Big Ten, right? A lot of the heavyweights was, you know, in the same division. You're talking about Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, all in the same division. So, in the other division, like, you know, these guys was looking at their schedule, and it's like, hey, if we could beat Wisconsin, like, you know, we got a pretty good chance of, you know, winning the Big Ten. And now with this change, that all kind of goes away.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, it's back to, like I say, the two best teams. So now you can kind of see, like, what happens in the SEC, where Alabama will play Georgia in the season, beat them, and then got to, like, turn around and play them again, right again, like in the SEC championship game. You also kind of see that sometimes in the ACC, I believe. Like the thing that happened with Notre Dame beat Clemson, and then they had to play them right again in the ACC championship. So, I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. Obviously, it makes things more competitive. But I feel for my small schools in the Big Ten. I was like kind of,
I don't,
you know,
feel for them. They're getting
the
money. I
feel for them, man.
They're getting the TV revenue. So, you know.
Money.
I only will feel for them if they wasn't getting the same checks. You know, we're not giving y'all these Big Ten checks. We're giving y'all a small check. Ohio State gets a big check. But when we can't, when the big schools are carrying the weight to make sure that we continue to negotiate big TV contracts, and the little schools got to fall in line. And look, well, I think what it does now, though, is we talked about a Purdue looking at their schedule and being like, can we upset one of these teams? Now they looking at their schedule like, we're not getting to the Big Ten. Like, we're not getting to the Big Ten championship. So the best we can do is go to a bowl game and knock off Ohio State before they play Penn State, or knock off, you know, whoever else. So they're going to be ready to go.
They're ready to go. So it's interesting, though. It's definitely changing times. You know, it's always – it's being rumored now. The rumors kind of started a while ago once the playoff kind of started. Everything would kind of evolve to, like, two big conferences. Like, you know, you have a big conference here and a big conference here. And it's really just due to – it's all about money, right? All these decisions are being made about money. So, you know, if you could kind of booster up your conference, you could go to take that to the TV networks and say, hey, you need to pay us XYZ because we have these schools that's going to draw this kind of audience. Where's the money? Yeah. So that's why you see – teams from the California and the Pac-10, where, to be frank, they kind of play so late at night. A lot of people, you know, that's been a thing for years. Yeah. You know, they play so late at night that a lot of stuff is getting missed out there when USC is playing Arizona. You know, a lot of people are missing that. So, you know, you join a conference with your history, with your current coaches, and, you know, what you could perform, and essentially, you're making more money.
So I'm a little disappointed, though, in that first year. Well, UCLA and USC joined the conference, that they're not playing Ohio State. USC's not playing Ohio State. And USC is not playing Ohio State at Ohio State that first year. Because, you know, I'm going to have season tickets for all these home games. And I want the resale value on these tickets to be high. Like, let's give us a USC game in the shoe the first year it happens. They get it the next year.
They get it next year.
2025.
Yeah, but we have to go. Next year, we have to go to UCLA. And
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know too much about UCLA and their fan base when it comes to games. I just know, they got – I mean, I like their colors. They got nice colors.
Yeah, they got solid colors. I don't know. It's going to be a packed house regardless, because Ohio State fans will show up for sure.
They'll show up. Yeah, and then I know they're happy that Ohio State guys are, like, they're coming to the state probably at least once a year every year now. That's fantastic for those guys out there. So, yeah. So, another thing, though, to talk about is that with this change in divisions, them getting away with divisions, there's no more, like, basically you get, like, a rivalry game or two rivalry games. But other than that, your schedule's kind of wide open to rotate in teams however they see – you know, however that schedule kind of flows out. So, you know, we won't be playing Penn State every year anymore. In 24, we play them. I believe in 25, we may not. So that's kind of interesting as well. It's like, you know, when it comes to Ohio State and Penn State over the last 20 years or so, you know, a lot of people look forward to that game to see who is that top-tier team in the Big Ten. Is it Penn State or is it Ohio State?
Yeah.
So that them falling off the schedule every year is kind of a big deal. Ohio State does get Michigan every year, so that's set in stone. That's their rivalry game that will continue to happen. But
so what you're telling me is that Ohio State and Illinois won't play for the Illibuck Trophy every year. We won't be able to see who's going to hold that little turtle over their head every year, man.
Man,
it's gonna be crazy, man.
It's gonna be crazy. Some people gonna, like, you know, somebody's gonna get a hold of that Illibuck and then just get to hold it for a little bit longer. And then when that gang come around, I just hope they can find it.
Right, right. Because if that turtle take off, man, after 2 years, it may actually have gotten out of the building. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. But that's a little bit tricky, man. But yeah, man. But like I say, the Cavs are out. I mean, 24. There's no real big game. Out of the conference, I think we play Marshall. We play some other small schools. Nothing big there. But in 25, we play Texas, which will be a huge game. Playing Texas as a non-conference game. Obviously, just the history of the two programs alone speak for themselves. And also with Sarkisian being down there, at that time, you probably – I mean, obviously, you don't know, but
Arch
it may
Madden.
Be a Manning playing quarterback for Texas. So that shit is shaping up to be a – that would be a good one. Obviously, that's a couple years in the future, but that could not be a huge one.
And we don't know if it's a home or away game, right? Or do we know?
No. From what I'm seeing, they just know that they're on the schedule. As far as the Big Ten teams, they kind of list out – home and away, but the other ones are just there. So it's like we play UConn, we play Texas. Another team would be added now, conference. I'm assuming it's another small school, probably one of the higher schools. They always kind of get somebody on the calendar there.
Yeah.
But it does not it doesn't stay. So I mean, I'm sure they're gonna do a home and away, you know, type of deal. So, but
if we get a season where home Texas at home and USC at home, Michigan will be away. But you get Texas at home and USC at home, I'm gonna list my tickets as soon as I get them. So y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all want to go see
if you need Texas good seats, right?
And USC in the horseshoe. Put the money up. All
right, 25, man. Great seats. I got great. My seats are. It kind of depends. Like, in theory, my seats are better. They're closer. But your seats are a little bit more
now, I'm luxury. Moving up. I moved up.
You move up? You up to the double A's?
I'm in the double A's, man. I don't know how I feel about the double A's. Look at you, man.
Look at you.
I like the single A.
It's
like
rowdy. And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, that's why I say, like, when you use that, it's like kind of nice. And it's kind of. The double A's is rowdy, man. It's like.
Yeah.
You're in it. Like, you're. It's like, you know, you're in the game. Like, you're not. Just sitting back enjoying the game. You're in it. So
for those who like to buy seats, they want to be closer. So hey,
yeah,
gotta do what the people want, man.
Gotta get the people what they want, man. So but so that's the future couple seasons here with Ohio State, 24-25 coming out. Obviously super early. We're really want to talk about 23 and just kind of having a dominant year. Early prediction, Ohio State win all their games. They go to the playoffs and they win a national championship. I don't think Georgia going to make it 3 years in a row. So, you know, you can't flip a coin and just say Alabama's going to be there and we'll play Alabama and we beat them for the national championship. So that's my prediction on 23. But let's go into recruiting, man. So the recruiting calendar we was talking about before the show a little bit, it's different now, man. So, like, back when we was in school, like, we're just so old now, man. It's getting so old and crusty, man. Back when we was in school, you just take your official visit, usually, like, your senior year.
Yep.
Once your season kind of ended, college football is still going on, and you kind of take your official visits during that time. You catch, like, some of those rivalry games, or you kind of catch them in the bowl season, somewhere around there. But now, like, the kids now start their official visits this weekend. So this weekend, Ohio State has about 20 recruits rolling into town. And I feel that they have that same kind of calendar going on for the next several weeks here. But, so it's a pretty good list. Like, I'm looking at the list of people that's coming in this week. 2024 class. We got Aaron Nolan, the quarterback, coming in. We got a couple running backs. Jeremiah Smith, who's been kind of in the news a little bit lately and some of the places he's been visiting. You got Miley Graham coming in, Garrett Stover. All these guys are commits right here. Ian Moore and Mark Nave, offensive line. All these guys are committed. So they're committed to Ohio State. Obviously, before you sign, things could happen. But these guys are commits, and they're all coming in. Then we got a spiel guys coming in as well who are also offered, but most of them are on their official visits, but they have not committed. A lot of offensive line, a lot of linemen, offensive line, D-line, DNs. Wide receivers, all kind of guys, but it's kind of interesting, man. It's like it's weird that you guys.
It's
come
crazy
in the summer, man.
It's so soon. But I took my official visit to Ohio State in the winter. Season was over. They had already played that team up north. I mean, the season was over. They were preparing for the bowl game or whatever. But you know, the regular season was over. It was snow. I had never seen snow before. It was the first time I seen snow in my life, you know. And it was a snowstorm. School was out. It was really kind of grimy for real. I don't know why I chose house, but
didn't we have a rough year? Was that the 7-4 year too?
Nah. That's when the they played Notre Dame in the bowl game
in the Fiesta Bowl.
Okay. Yeah. I think there was two losses maybe that year.
Yeah, that was the year before that. That was like that was a struggle year. Yeah. Okay.
I ain't watch Ohio State then back then.
So. Yeah, that makes sense.
but. Yeah, so 2024, I think that one of the big things is they got a good class so far committed, but only three defensive players so far, I think. Maybe only three. I know two linebackers, and there's a third guy in there somewhere. There's a couple good DBs out there, one from Glenville, one from Glenville,
yes,
that is still undecided. So
yes, I mean, Ohio State made it to the top seven that dropped this week. So, you know, congratulations to Ohio State, man. You recruiting some, you know, he's a guy, man. He's that guy.
So, following him, a guy that I'm working with, his name's Dorian Brew out of Northmont High School in Dayton, was up here at Ohio State for a camp, competing against some guys, man. Shout out to him, man. He's been putting a lot of work in. He's a big corner, like 6'2", really good receiver too. So really, I mean, he's only a sophomore. He's a rising junior, so he'd be going into his junior year, but can play offense, defense. But really, really, I like guys who are locked in as a sophomore, junior, locked in at the corner position and putting the work in, because that means they value the cornerback position. Nowadays in high school, man, everybody wants to play receiver. Everybody wants to play receiver. You know, we talked to who we talked to about that?
We talked to
Garyon. We talked to Garyon Conley about it.
Garyon Conley, his high school career.
Right.
And him wanting to be a wide receiver. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's refreshing to see a guy, you know, with that type of talent really putting in the work on the defensive end. And I'm trying to save the cornerback position, man. I want guys to be great at cornerback, and I feel like it's falling off a little bit.
You know, well, some clips kind of hit on online this last couple of days of, once again, at the camp and him competing against some guy. One of the guys he was competing against is Chris Henry Jr. You may be familiar with his father, who was an NFL guy, and I believe Chris Henry was adopted by, was that Pac-Man Jones?
Pac-Man Jones,
Pac-Man Jones adopted him. But, I mean, this guy's he's a rising sophomore, so he finished his freshman year. He's like 6'5". He's probably like 180, 85 pounds, and he's like
nice.
He's going to be a stud from this point, and he's going to continue on that path. I believe Ohio State already threw him an offer, but you've seen the reps against him and Dorian Brewer doing some 1-on-1s, and I mean both those guys obviously they're young, but they look the par, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
they look like
it's literally two reps. I think it's two reps, but you could just see that. All right, for them to be in high school, like they know what they're doing first of all, and you can see the ability, you can see the wiggle, you can see the recovery. The hand placement, you know, it's a lot there already. And just like, these, you know, sometimes you can just see it in the guy. And these are two guys that will be good players for the state of Ohio. And fingers crossed that these are, like, you know, our future Buckeyes that we're looking at. Don't know. It's the world of NIL, and who knows? Anything can happen. But
there's a lot of factors.
But them guys are currently in Ohio. They're coming to Ohio State camps to work out with each other and competing and getting better. And it's always always good to see. Obviously, like I say, we're recruiting, and it's changes. You know, a lot of guys are taking these official visits, and we was talking about it. Like, things in football has just changed so much. When we were in school, you took your visit during the season, you committed in February, in the summer, you went off to school. And we was talking about, you know, now guys are taking their visits in the summer, like to commit before the season, because when the season ends at high school, they're off. They're off to college to get ready for spring ball. Yeah, they might come back for prom. Man, hopefully they come back for prom.
No senior trip.
No
day.
Senior prank. Right. It just kind of locking asses out and going right to ball. I mean, also, that's good for them that they are able to do it. They're young. You have that mindset, you know, this is your goal. This is what you want to do. But it's just different. Different time. So a lot of guys are taking visits now. I feel like by the end of the summer, we'll have a much better feel on our class for 24. And like I said, we got to get some defenders in there. We got to get some – I think we need some tackles,
man. Yeah, we
got
to get some commitments, man. There's some guys out there. Missions. I know that's going to choose Ohio State, but we got to get some commitments out there, man.
So, that's our show for today, man. Once again, shout out to BetOnline. Please sit up for your gambling needs. A few more games left in this NBA championship. I would say maybe –
Who you got?
2-1. I got the guys, man. Denver, man. These guys, they swept our Lakers, right? They swept our LeBron and the Lakers. But, I mean, they got a lot going on that's positive. Jokic and Murray are playing outstanding, man. I mean,
they've arrived.
Jokic's triple-double just comes so easy. Like, you look at the stat line at halftime, it's just like.
I'm telling you, the way he plays is like, when I was a kid, we used to take the goal, we used to put it all the way down. All the way down where I could just dunk and back dunk. He can't do all the dunks and stuff. But when you do like a little fadeaway on a short rim, you just throwing the ball in the hoop. Like, that's how he plays, man. It's like, like they got to raise. They need to raise the goal for him, man, because he's shooting it. He's just shooting it like this, and it's just easy. It's too easy. It's very easy, man.
So I don't know, man. Miami impressed me with that too. That second game, I feel like they would get another one, but
Denver's, they don't got enough.
They're gonna win this series. I mean, it's good for them. They deserve it. They've been kicking at it for a while, and now they got the team to do it. So good, kudos for them. But we'll see.
You can still use BetOnline to bet on them if you
bet
feel.
BetOnline to bet on them. If you think Joker not gonna get that triple double by the third quarter, like BetOnline's the place to bet it. But he's gonna get it. I'm telling you that right now. But once again, that's our show. Talking about recruiting, talk about the schedule as it dropped. We'll catch you guys next time. And once again, as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
OH.
IO.
Right.